baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and you fill in the blank. Summer and Chevy go together like road trips and sunshine. Check out the full line of Chevy SUVs and trucks at your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers today. Chevy Drive Chicago.
Jeff Morrow brings his larger-than-life personality, culinary creativity, and Chicago-born humor to the stage at Chicago City Winery Friday, May 29th for a one-of-a-kind live experience. Known to millions as the Food Network's beloved Sandwich King, he blends food, comedy, music, and storytelling into a high-energy evening and that feels part variety show, part comedy set, and part neighborhood deli hang. Does that describe everything?
I like that. Who wrote that copy? That's what I want to know. I didn't approve that, but it's perfect.
I love it.
I hope it was GPT.
It might have been.
We're all doomed if that was GPT.
No, it's not. It was not GPT. And to talk about it all is Jeff Morrow. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, man. Doing great. It's just like I'm always just in awe to be up here on a legendary station,
right?
With this legendary view, you know? I mean, If I urge anybody to achieve their dreams and work hard to achieve those dreams, it's to be up here doing radio with you, Dave, and looking at the most beautiful fresh water.
Right? Yeah. I know. It's absolutely gorgeous. Were you ever in the studios when we were in the Tribune building?
Yeah, the ground floor. Yeah, of course. I've done it all. I've been in show business a long when you were
show business.
Yeah, when you were with the Dayton Cheerleaders.
Wow. But you must love being on stage in your hometown.
I love it. Right. You know, and we took the show to Pittsburgh, St. Louis, Philly, and they were great, vibrant crowds. And I'm just trying to, like, build this show up from nothing, but to kind of reconstruct it from our first run here at City Winery in Chicago months ago. I'm just excited. Like, you could have seen that show on the first one, and it's almost a completely different show. It just keeps evolving, and every night it evolves. And I just, the crowd here is, you know, you can say things here in Chicago that the audience gets.
Yes, you know what I mean?
They don't get in other towns. Yeah. That is just kind of always bubbling up in me. And, you know, this is my hometown. I still live here, raised my son here, and it's great to perform here.
Born in Chicago, but grew up in Elmwood Park.
Yeah, Elmwood Park, River Forest. Now we're back in River Forest.
Okay.
My dad's family's from Taylor Street. My mom's family's from Galewood.
Okay.
So, you know, it's in me. It's in my bones. And part of the greatest, I think, one of the main benefits to doing what I do and being at this point in my career is like, and still being able to live here and still have a successful career is knowing that I kind of, one of the loudest voices for our people and where we're from, you know, that hasn't kind of packed up and went to New York or LA.
It's very true.
You know
what I
mean?
It's very true.
And it's hard because that carrot's been dangling in front of me for a long time, for 15 years. And it's like, come move out to New York, come move to LA. You'll do so much better. You can be on Today's Show every Thursday. You can do this and that. I'm like, no, I want to raise my son in a normal city, in
good
a normal
environment.
Normal. You know what I mean?
Good
but like,
for you.
Normal to us.
It's normal to us. I was going to say, there's a decade between us, but I went to Holy Cross.
Oh my God, my wife went to Garin.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I used to hang around with a lot of Holy Cross guys in high school.
It looks, the property, oh my God, it just looks weird. It's all condos now.
I know. It's so
sad.
They
blew it out. I think the football field might still be in the back in some form of a park or
something. I think it's a pickleball court now.
Is that
football
what it is?
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised.
But if you like good food and festivals, Elmwood Park is a great place to grow up, right?
It's you know, we lived there too as an adult when my son was born.
Oh, okay.
So we lived there for about moved back to Elmwood Park, lived there for about 8 years. And the best part about living close to North Avenue too is what we call the South Elm. I think that now they've rebranded as River Forest Manor or something
Right?
I don't know, because it's right across. But you know, when the wind's blowing perfectly like due east, you could smell the Johnnies in the air.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
And that kept me there for a long time. But yeah, it is. It's a great neighborhood, great community. I mean, I've lived in either Galewood, Elmwood Park, or River Forest my whole life. So the same three corners out of the four. And I don't know. I can't get out. They won't let me out, I don't think.
I love it. But when you first got into this, was it a deli that you owned? Was that your first foray into the food thing? And how did you get into the whole food thing? So, I just mentioned Elmwood Park, so that might be a big thing.
Yeah. As a kid, I always made my scratch. You know, I was always a performer. I always did theater, stand-up. I was in Second City youth programs as a kid.
My kids, too.
I loved it. You know, and then when you hit 15, you're like, I need my own scratch. So I just got a job at the butcher shop down the street.
Okay.
And then that kind of rolled into working at the deli down the street, which was for a little more money. And I always worked in food to kind of support my habits, I guess, or whatever, by video games and God knows what else in high school. But I graduated college and I went to undergrad at Bradley and opened a deli with my cousin, which is the smartest thing to do with a liberal arts degree for your private college. So from that point on, I kind of professionally worked in food always. Went to culinary school, did all that, and kind of always wanted to meld my two loves of show business, comedy, entertainment, and food. And
but obviously, you found a niche. You found a niche right away, not only with the comedy, but just the whole sandwich thing.
Yeah. I mean, listen, nobody had that
or
point
does.
Of view.
Or still does.
Yeah, nobody. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could fight me for it, but good luck with that. I worked too damn hard to be at this point. But, nobody claimed that they... I don't think anybody believed that you can use sandwiches as a platform to teach people how to cook.
Right, right, right.
So that dawned on me after the fourth audition I had for Food Network Star back in the day. And it was that fourth one where things started clicking. You know, my son was born. We were living in our first home in Elmwood Park. Yep, yep. And I was like, the stakes were high. And it just kind of, I had that epiphany. I mean, like, I've been literally professionally making sandwiches at this point for 20-something years. I might as well own this because you really teach all the fundamentals of culinary arts through a sandwich.
Was it Food Network Star that really just, that was it?
That was it.
Like, popped you.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was the formative years before that that led to me being successful eventually on Food Network Star. By not only having that point of view, which carried me through the competition, but also giving me the chops to talk on camera, right? Connect with an audience, have a boatload of stories, authentic stories to tell, have this upbringing that still was never represented on Food Network.
Yeah.
Or even like most thing, you know, like the Chicago neighborhood point of view didn't exist on Food Network and beyond. So I was like, let me lean into these things, not because they're cool. Even though I think they're very cool, but it was the most authentic version of myself. So, and what's the most interesting thing about me, I think, is my story from birth to Sandwich King. That's why it's called From Clown to King,
because I want to give it all away.
But I was born a clown.
Yeah,
you know, I was born as the I'm one of four kids, and my older brother, you know, would get attention around the the chaotic dinner table by making us cry and being bad, though he's so good now and he's awesome. And my two younger sisters would get their attention by being dramatic or crying, reacting to what my brother was doing, and I would find that my niche lied in just calming the situation with humor. And
I love it.
And that just evolved from being literally a hungry kid around a hungry table with a big, fat, loud Italian-American family.
Which busting chops is a part of that, too,
right? Oh, it's a sport. I was great at it. We're all very good at it to this day. I mean, I talked to my mom for like 48 minutes yesterday, and we had a great conversation. But, you know, I actually say this in the show, like, I'll call my mom for advice and stuff. And it's hard for, I guess, civilians to understand the problems of a quote-unquote TV star, right? I'm like, I've traveled here. I've been here. I've been there. I was on the TV show. I did this. I'm tired. I've been traveling. You know, and my mom will look at me. She'll be like, to quote Hyman Roth from Godfather 2, stop complaining because this is the business you've chosen. And I was like, wow, so warm and sunny.
Yeah, yeah, very much so, very much so. But then you're doing Fallon. You're doing Steve Harvey, Good Morning America, The Today Show. The WGN Morning News, and of course, not the Dave Plyer Show, which is amazing. But like, what makes Chicago, I want to ask you this question, such a great food city beyond the traditional stuff that we always get talked about, the deep dish, the hot dogs, the beef sandwiches?
It's a major cosmopolitan international city.
Yeah.
Right? It's a hub for people from all over to come not only to be tourists, but also to live here and raise families here from all over the world. So you get those influences. But I think deep down, what separates us from the coast is that there's so many more people that are like born, raised here, where I feel like New York and LA, you get transplants and then they kind of lay their foundation there. And I think that's great for those cities. But here there's that deep rooted Chicago pride.
You were going to say, yeah.
Authenticity. And then coupled with a no nonsense sensibility where fine, we're open, we're willing to try new foods and new restaurants they open, but you have to be good.
Yeah.
The Midwestern nice thing is kind of...
And you don't get a second chance.
You don't get a second chance, right? So it ups the ante where the rent is a little more excessive. It's hard. It's hard to have a it's hard to run a business in any major city, but especially here. But here, rent is a little more manageable. And compared to Manhattan,
that's true.
To like LA, which is I wouldn't open anything there anytime soon. But so you can kind of swing for the fences a little bit more and be as artistic and adventurous as you can with the food.
Yeah.
And then you combine that from a Michelin star James Beard Award level platform to like neighborhood joints. And this is a city and neighborhood full of neighborhood joints. And you can get as granular as, you know, this is the block I was raised on, and this deli is the best because not only is it closest to my house, but this is what I was raised on and most familiar with. And people are vehemently will proselytize all day against anybody. And we fight about food in a very nice way. And I love that. So it just raises the bar, and you can get the whole spectrum of food from a joint to a real joint.
But if you live here, and especially if you live in the suburbs, and I always tell folks that live in the burbs and they're coming downtown, you got to experience the local restaurants. You don't want to do chains down in the city. You want to experience new things. But if you went out to dinner 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, you still wouldn't experience every cool restaurant in town that we have here.
It's exhausting.
Yeah.
And expensive. Yeah. Try every, people are like, what do you mean you haven't been to? And I'm like, I don't know. I travel half the year.
Yeah.
And sometimes, and what I love about living here, especially in the kind of neighborhood that I'm in, is there's so many great, dependable neighborhood joints that are a safe bet. It's a couple minutes away.
Yeah.
You walk in the door. Hey, sit down. Boom. Yeah. You know exactly what to order. But when you want to do, put on a nice button down, Dave.
Yes. Yeah, I get you.
Want to put on a button down and some slacks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some slacks. Nice shiny shoes. You can go take the old lady out to the big city downtown.
Yeah.
And get a reservation.
Yeah.
You know.
There's a lot of actors and actresses that represent this city. You can talk about the Bill Murrays and everybody that, that has made their way through here at some point. But you're really only the foodie guy that people know are from Chicago. I mean, really, in any network, you're the guy.
Yeah, well, thank you. I think it's a weight that I love to bear.
Yes.
I do. I have no plans on moving anything. I mean, my son goes to city school, and he goes to Ignatius in the city, and he's graduating next year. So it's like, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
Do we stay out in the burbs and pay all these taxes for schools that I don't send my kid to?
Yeah.
Or do we move back to the city, And so I feel like I'm only going to get deeper involved in here. But it's my authentic point of view.
Yeah.
And it's my honor.
Yeah.
To get up on the highest vantage point on the highest mountain and let as many people know as possible, like what the real experience is here,
We'll talk sandwiches and more with Jeff Morrow right after this on 720 WGN.
Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
Jeff Morrow brings his larger-than-life personality, culinary creativity, and Chicago-born humor to the stage at Chicago City Winery Friday, May 29th for a one-of-a-kind live experience. For tickets, visit citywinery.com. All right, sandwiches. I want to talk a little sandwiches before we go. Favorite color, you say, is pastrami.
Oh, nothing is quite that color.
But right. I know this is like asking who your favorite child is. Like what? Well,
that's why I only had one kid.
That's right.
Easy.
What is like if you had one sandwich before you die, what is it?
That's a hard question to answer. And I've answered this question more than anything else.
Yeah.
So it vacillates depending on my mood and I guess the season and the weather. Right now I just can't get, like, for me the number one sandwich is an Italian beef.
Okay.
Sweet and hot, dipped. Yeah. But but on the side, I would get probably a hand-cut house-smoked pastrami on rye with a little shmira mustard.
Ooh, okay.
Like good fatty pastrami.
Okay.
But Italian beef, like when it's banging and it's on fire, there's nothing better.
What? How important is the architecture of a sandwich? Because I mean, you take this very, very seriously. Yes. So. How do you build it? How important is the bread? Like, give me the whole scenario. Like, why sandwiches are the thing and so critical to build?
Well, the bread is the foundation, right? Okay. It's like, pouring concrete and footings for a basement, right?
Yep.
You need that in order to make sure you have structural integrity in the sandwich. But it's more than just robustness, right? Yeah. You need the bread treated well.
Yep.
So if your bread is a little day past its prime, or you got it at the bakery, or even it's out of a poly bag or whatever, you know, I'm a big proponent of introducing some fat to the bread and a nice little flat pan griddle.
Ooh, nice.
Give a little crust on it while reinvigorating the freshness, if you will. But I'm a proponent for proper ratios and not overstuffing your sandwich.
Okay.
You know, meat, cheese, bread, some veg, a schmear of something on top, or a little oil vinegar. Only on the top, though, not on the bottom.
The schmear is very important.
Very.
It can make or break it, right?
Right, and you always have to go crust to crust, which I always say on my shows, crust to crust is a must, which I have trademarked, Dave. One of the many wise business decisions in my life. But you know what? Because we've all had those sloppy, you know, overstuffed, sometimes hipster-made sandwiches who put an egg and big, thick-cut pork belly on a burger just because they can and want to show off their culinary prowess. But that's not necessarily what's best for that burger, right? Or we've all had those dry, underthought airport kiosk sandwiches that you unwrap and just eat in a hurry, right? And I just feel like life's too short for that experience. You know, you got this Goldilocks zone that really depends on the actual recipe and what you're making or what you're ordering.
What else are you working on right now that you can talk about?
I got Marl Provisions, of course, my extremely fast-growing Chicago-centric food brand, trying to bring Giardiniera to the world, which is finally working. Yeah. We went from 70 stores to 800 stores in about 14 months. I got a great team.
Good for you.
I know this for a fact. We're first to market with the first ever true clean label, heat pasteurized Giardiniera. We have our Honey G, and we just, I'm giving you the exclusive. Today, we are officially on the menus and online for all Lou Malnati's locations.
Wow.
My Marl Provisions certified Angus beef, Italian beef, which is the best possible Italian beef on the market. And we're doing a special edition pizza to help launch this partnership with Lou Malnati's, which, quite frankly, how relentless I am, and ask anybody who works with me, if I see a vision and I want it, I will work
it
years.
Yeah.
Not aggressive, like,
for you.
But, you know, and my father taught me that squeaky wheel always gets, you know, the Giardiniera oil. You know what I mean? So I've been trying so hard with Lou Malnati's, and we finally are launching this thing, and they've been such great partners,
amazing,
working close with Mark Malnati and the whole team over there. So it'll be our Marl Provisions Italian beef, our Marl Provisions Honey G pepper relish, their sausage on a butter crust deep dish and thin crust.
Wow.
It's so good. You can get it at tasteofchicago.com, shipped all over America and in all their restaurants and brick and mortar. So that's like, I'm so excited because it's so good. Like, I've been eating it probably for the last, testing this thing out for 6 months, and I can't get enough of it.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Very, very,
I'm
very
proud
cool.
of myself.
Well, go see Jeff. He's going to be at the City Winery here in Chicago Friday, May 29th for a one-of-a-kind live experience. For tickets and more, you can go to citywinery.com. You have a website as well, right?
Yeah, you can go to jeffmorrow.com or go to marlprovisions.com and order yourself some Giardiniera. We're at Whole Foods, Walmart, Pete's Fresh Market, Jewels, everywhere. So support, I'm trying to be the, you know, people ask me like, on the East Coast or whatever, like, nobody knows what Giardiniera is. Nobody wants it. I go, did you know what sriracha was 13 years ago?
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
Did you know how to spell it? Did you know how to pronounce it?
Yeah,
no, it's a funny word, but guess what? It's better for you than sriracha.
It absolutely is.
And it'll be in your fridge like everybody has sriracha in your fridge.
Love hearing it.
Thank
Congratulations,
you.
Jeff. Thanks for being here.
I love you, Dave.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.